I think today's message will be in four parts. Okay, children? The first part you have already done. Take your pickaxe, put your helmet on, prepare to go to a mine. You got a cart with you that you want to fill up with all the precious stones and gold that you can find. So first is going into the mine and seeing what you can do or what mankind can do. Okay, so first is that. Secondly, after digging everything up, you're going to see, you look in your cart and you're going to realize, something is missing. Something is missing from all the treasures that have been dug up. You've said the name of it, it's wisdom. And we're going to look at how much wisdom costs. Oh, can I trade it for this piece of gold? Or maybe for that sapphire? Or what can I trade wisdom for? Okay. And the third part we're going to look at is, where can wisdom be found? How come I don't have it in my cart with me? How come I don't have it here? Where can I find wisdom? And lastly, we're going to go to someone who has wisdom and will tell you where to find it. So first, we go digging. Secondly, you look at your cart and see what you don't have. Then you try to find wisdom. And then lastly, you go to someone who has wisdom. So, Job starts first with a story. Okay? I'm going to be preaching from the ESV, so just in case it looks a bit different from the NKJV, but it's roughly almost the same. He starts off, surely there is a mine for silver. Oh, there is a mine for silver. And a place for gold that they refine. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. What's he describing here? He's saying that there is a mine. Do you want gold? What kind of mine do you go to? A gold mine. How about silver? A silver mine. How about copper and iron? Copper and iron mine. In Wales, what is the most dug up mineral from the earth here? Yeah. Salt? No. That's cold, black gold. Well, coal, solid coal rocks was what Wales was well known for. Up in the valleys and just all throughout, you'll see lots of communities built upon coal mining. Large coal pits going deep in the ground, kilometers in length, and coal seams where they grow. So that's where minerals are taken out from. What's he saying that man puts an end to darkness and searches out the furthest limit, the awe and gloom and deep darkness? He's now explaining the digging process. You take out your pickaxe and you dig. To the furthest limit, you go underground or you find a deep valley and you go through the side of the valley and you dig a mine shaft. You go through in the deep darkness and the gloom. You go digging. Digging for gold that you'll find. I'm sure if some of you are, especially adults here, have gone to some of the mines in this country, you'll see deep darkness and this echo. A dark place. And you wonder, what's there to be seen? And then you have a tour guide who will say, now here was where they dug copper ore. And you look at it and you go, it all looks like rocks to me. And they'll say, and here's another copper seam. And you can barely see it. So they go deep into darkness to find ore. He opens shafts in a valley far away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air far from mankind. They swing to and fro. Who's hanging in the air? If you were miners, children, it'll be you. It's not easy to go into a mine. Some of the mines now that we go for tourism, they got nice steps in them. You know those nice... It's either concrete steps or those metal steps that you walk through a mine. It's really easy. But when you go into the mine and you find places that you dig through, you have to get your ropes, your carabiner, and various hooks, and you start climbing down, hanging in the air, by your ropes as you explore the cave and the mine deeper, hoping to find greater treasure. So they'll hang in the air, far away from mankind. As for the earth, out of it comes bread. But underneath it, it's turned up by fire. So up, you, people might be growing things which can give you bread on the surface, but deep down, the miners, they're digging, turn up as by fire, putting the fire to light the way, putting the fire to smelt the ore. What do you get from it? It's stones. It's the place of sapphires. And it's dust of gold. I'm not sure how many of you have seen a sapphire before. Even now, with lots of technology and things, diamonds, sapphires, emeralds, the precious stones, they cost a lot. They're rare. They're special. They're not easy to find. But mankind can find it. God has given man, even you children, the ability to search deep, to find things, to study things out. Not like the animals, which is what Job says next. The path no bird of prey know, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Have you ever seen a lion in the zoo? Picking up a pickaxe and starting to dig? Have you ever seen a falcon flying in the air, wearing a helmet that it made for itself? Never seen that. The proud beasts do not do this. Only mankind do it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the seams so that they do not trickle. And the thing that is hidden, he brings forth to light. So this is mankind. All of you here, you at home as well, all of you are made special in the image of God. Not like the animals, not like the lions, not like the eagles. You're made with the ability to search deeply, with an intelligence that God has given each and every one of you, to find out what is good, to treasure it, to keep it. And here Job is describing something good, which mankind loved during Job's days, thousands of years before Jesus. It's a good thing which people love today, thousands of years after Jesus. Sapphires, gold, money, riches, precious things. Now, there is something wonderful which God has given to us. And why is Job talking about all of this? It doesn't make sense. You might think, Job, what are you talking about? So he's sitting there suffering, sores, boils all over his body. His children are dead. He's poor, he has no money. And his three friends are there insulting him, saying that you probably have done something very wrong, Job. That's why God is cursing you. And he was debating with them, no, I am a good man, God should bless me. And his friends were saying, God is not blessing you, you are a bad man. And he's going back and forth, and then suddenly he talks about this. What is Job speaking about? What is Job talking? We'll see what Job is talking about in the second part then. So now you've got your mind cut with all the sapphires and emeralds and diamonds and gold that you've dug in. But you look within your mind cut and you realize something is missing. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? What is the book of Job about? A large portion of the book of Job is of the debates between Job and his three friends. The debates and question of, is this what is right? No, that's not right. This is wrong. Job, you're not saying the right thing. Job's friends say to him, you're not right, Job. You must be sinning. Job says, I'm not sinning. You are wrong. No, you are wrong. It goes back and forth. And even worse, Job, in a series of chapters, says to God, God, you are wrong. He says to God, you are wrong. And actually words which, if you heard it today, how blasphemous. How dare you say that God is doing wrong or doing evil. So this is a situation where suddenly wisdom is being sought after. Job's friends look at the situation and saying, aha, you're suffering, Job. God must be punishing you because you've done very evil things. Job, on the other hand, is saying, I'm such a righteous man. How dare God cause me to suffer? Why does God lead me to suffer? If I spoke to God, my mouth will be shut up. He'll make me unable to say. So God is doing something wrong here. And he goes back and forth for many chapters in Job. And this is nearing the end. So Job is not always right. Job is not always wrong either. I know many of us have this picture of the book of Job. You read the start. He was a righteous man who did what was right in God's eyes. And in this, Job did not sin. And then you stop there. And that's what we tend to know about Job. But if you read a few more chapters on Job 9, Job starts sinning. Very serious sins against God. He starts accusing God of wrong, of ill. But that is mingled with faith, just like us. Job is a man just like us, with good and bad often mingled together, faith and unbelief mingled together. And here, in the midst of all his troubles, he says this wonderful story about mining, which gives praise to God. Deep in his heart, he does know that there is something that is right, a way to be wise, which his friends are not getting it. And at times, he himself also struggles with. So we go back to wisdom then. Where shall wisdom be found? And what is the place of understanding? Before we look at wisdom, it'd be good for me to explain what is wisdom. So, why is Job's situation so good to teach us wisdom? It's because wisdom is not mere smartness. You know, you have some people who are very smart. You say something and they can tell you something smart in exchange. They're like Google. They know everything. Oh yeah, I'll tell you this. I can count 5 times 5 very quick. Oh, 25. Smart. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. Wisdom, especially in the Bible, is this God-given ability to know what is the right and good thing to do in any situation. And when we look at the book of Job, especially, we see that wisdom is much needed. For Job is suffering. When you are suffering, when God seems to send troubles and trials your way, things which you cannot understand, do you have wisdom to do what is right in such a situation? Do you have the wisdom to think rightly in a way which God would have you, in a way which is good, wise, tactful, is correct for its situation? Or if you're like maybe you're Job's friends, you're comforting someone who is struggling, do you know what to say? Do you know how to think about this situation rightly? Or do you lack wisdom and will go on just straight ahead like Job's miserable comforters, starting accusing Job of all sorts of wrong in a way which just lacks wisdom? We lack wisdom in so many ways. We are often like Job's friends or even like Job when he is angry at God. And how do we go through life acting rightly in terms of each other? How do we handle money? How do we handle property? How do we handle opposition? How do we handle praise? A lot of this wisdom is needed. And let's go back to the text then. But where shall wisdom be found? Where shall wisdom be found? So you children, you came back to the toilet, you now look at your mind cut, you have all sorts of wonderful treasures in there. But a certain treasure called wisdom is missing. For you adults, maybe you've got everything in life now. You've got a big house, you've got a wife, you've got children, grandchildren, you have a lot of money in your bank, and you are comfortable, and you realize that actually, I don't know, I might not be very wise despite all I have. And here's how Job describes it. Man does not know its worth. It is not found in the land of the living. The deep says it is not in me. The sea says it is not with me. What's he saying here? Man does not know its worth. You can't really calculate worth of wisdom. You can't find it in the land of the living. Any of you ever been to Tesco and bought a bag of wisdom? Or maybe you go to the most expensive shop that sell diamonds and wedding rings, and then it says here, ring of wisdom. You can't find it. Man does not know his worth. You can't find it. The deep, the oceans, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not in me. Have you ever seen David Attenborough? Or those Discovery Channel, National Geographic, where they go deep into the ocean, or maybe they go into outer space, to the moon. Have they ever came back and go, dear ones, I've been to the moon and back. One small step for man, and I found wisdom on the moon. You don't see that. You don't see people come from deep within the earth, and when I reached the bottom of the sea, I found wisdom. You don't see that either. It cannot be bought with gold, and silver cannot be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophrah, in precious onyx or sapphire. Think about who's the richest man on earth right now? Do you know? Or the adults? Do you know who's the richest man on earth? No? He's been surpassed now. This electric guy. Elon Musk now with Tesla. You see a man like that. Wow, so much money. Billions, hundreds of billions. How much of his money can he trade for wisdom? Would 100 billion buy more wisdom? Could he have more wisdom by trading away his wealth? You look around on earth. Is it the rich people who are extremely wise and the poor people who are foolish? No, not really. From the greatest to the least, the richest to the poorest, you see foolishness everywhere. Now, I have got the privilege of being around with doctors. Oh, brilliant doctors. Oh, doctors. Rich doctors, smart doctors, clever doctors, powerful doctors. And when you just see them sit down and chit-chat, it's just utter nonsense. The talk is just as foolish as when you go on the marketplace and you see people without a job having their chit-chat. Yes, it might be more educated in its manner. But what is truly important, what is wise, and is, you don't see that. I see the doctors with me, all sorts of carnal sins and lusts, desires, greed, sexual immorality, pride, anger, angst. I can't believe these people are like that. How dare they do this to me? And all this bitterness. And you would have thought that doctors would be wiser, wouldn't they? Aren't they the top people of our economy? Aren't they supposed to be wise and brilliant? Where do you find wisdom? Do you go to Parliament, find wisdom? Parliament. You find people in Parliament who are wise. They always keep their word. They always tell the truth. They never lie. They never lose their temper. They're never caught doing what is wrong. That's Parliament, isn't it? You don't find that in Parliament either. I thought these are the leaders of your country. Where then can you find wisdom? And this is the question of Job. A question which he's asking, and a question which he's posing to his three worthless comforters, who think they're really wise and have it all and know it all. Gold and glass cannot equal it, he says. So glass is now cheap, but in those days glass was very expensive. Eh? Nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. So what's the conclusion of this part then? So you children, once again back to the picture, you've got your mind cut, you've got no wisdom in there, and if you sell everything that you have there, all the hundreds of diamonds you have collected, you can't trade it for wisdom. Its worth is way more than that. And its worth should be way more than that in your eyes and in our eyes. But then, all right, so you're telling me now I cannot trade it for wisdom. But perhaps Perhaps I can find wisdom somewhere. Surely there are places where we can find wisdom. So there's the next part then. Where can we find it? From where then does this wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living. It's concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. So even the animals cannot find wisdom. Now, who should we look to? We mankind would think, maybe I'll look to the other creatures which God has made and find wisdom in there. But the birds of the air, the birds which fly above, you know, the eagles, the hawks, they fly above and they see everything. But wisdom is hidden from them also. You can't go to the animals, speak to a cow, get wisdom. You don't find it from them either. How about death? Abaddon and death. Ruin, Abaddon. A perishing place of destruction. And death say, we have heard a rumor of it with your ears. Well, what does it mean? Now it's as if death were talking. I've heard a rumor of where wisdom can be found, but I've no idea where it is. Do some of you all think that perhaps when you die or you get closer to death, you become wiser? That perhaps if two thoughts. One is maybe the closer you get to death, the wiser you become. And of course I'm very wise now, you might say, if you are above 60, because I'm above 60. I was foolish when I was a child, but now because of age, I become wise. What does death and destruction say to you? We've heard a rumor of it. I've heard a rumor that people become wise before they die. Just a rumor. It doesn't know it either. Or perhaps you've heard of some religions, like the Buddhists or the Taoists, who will say that, there are cycles of reincarnation. When you die, you perhaps get better and wiser. You might be born again and born again and born again. Eventually, you become so wise, you become like a god. Nonsense. Abaddon and death says we have heard a rumor of it in your ears. Or maybe like the Muslims, you believe if you die, maybe you go to the place where your sins and wrongs will be purged for. And once you're purged from it, you become wise and can go to be with God. Nonsense. Where then can wisdom be found? So this is the third part then. When hunting for wisdom, mankind who seem to know everything, dig everything from out of the ground, couldn't find wisdom. Couldn't buy wisdom with what you got. Couldn't discover it anywhere. And this is the center of what Job is getting at now. That God understands the way to it. Where do you want to find wisdom? Go to the man who knows it. Oh, there's none on earth. There's only one option then. Go to God. God understands the way to it. He knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then he saw it and declared it. He established and searched it out. God sees it. God declares it. God has established wisdom. He has searched it out. But stop. Wait a minute. Why is Job here talking about God? I want to know wisdom. Isn't it strange, you think, that Job is talking about God here? If I asked you, how can I get more money? And I start describing you, there's this man, and he lives here, and he's a farmer, and he does this. You'll be saying to me, all right, enough with the man. I want to know how I can get money. Why does he talk about God here? And here, I want to say that, well, especially you children, listen up at this point now. It's going to be most important. You can get all the riches in the world. It's not enough. You want to find wisdom, Actually, wisdom is not the greatest treasure on the earth. Yes, I tricked you. Yes, greatest, wisdom is not the greatest thing to seek after. Wisdom is something else. It is something wonderful, but it's not the greatest. The greatest thing here in the whole universe is not something which is created. It's God Himself. God Himself is the greatest one who you should seek after and pursue. You must know and see God in His majesty, in His glory. And that's why Job here, on his way, on the way to find wisdom, he comes across this, that God who is way greater, is the one who can show mankind where to find wisdom. What does he say? God understands the way to it. He knows his place. That which you men could never find, God knows. He looks to the ends of the earth. He sees everything under the heavens. Whatever you have never understood, whatever you have never known, God knew. God knew. He gave to the wind its weight. How much does wind weigh? Have you ever felt the weight of wind blow in your hand? Oh, 1 gram. You sure? How much does it weigh? When you see the wind blowing around, do you know how much it weighs? I have no idea. But God knows. He apportioned the waters by measure. He knows how much is in the ocean. Makes a decree for rain, a way for the lightning of the thunder. Have you ever seen lightning strike before? I have no idea where the lightning is going to hit. No one says, all right, exactly in 3 seconds, the lightning is going to start from there, it'll zigzag down, and it will exactly touch there, it'll branch off here, and that's it, ready, boom. See, I told you. Mankind cannot do that. But God can. He makes a way for the lightning of the thunder. What's this then? What is your problem in life? What is my problem in life? Oh, dear ones, children, elderly, your problem in life is that your God is too small. Your God is too small. Not that God Himself is small, but our understanding, our knowledge of God is too small. We tend to have a God who's maybe pocket-sized, like a phone. We can put it in our pocket and take Him out whenever we want to and to ask for help. We have a God who oftentimes, maybe when I want something, I'll go to Him. But the rest of the time, it's alright. I mean, there's God somewhere and there's me. What Job is seeing here, and the rest of the book of Job, especially towards the end, points to is this, that God is holy. He's set apart way beyond all that you understand, way beyond anything that is worth. If I tell you, you get a chance to talk to the richest man, Elon Musk, now, and maybe get some things from him, you'll be like, all right, oh, I would love that. Maybe he'll give me just a few million, because it's nothing to him. But don't you want to meet God? God the Almighty? God the Awesome? God the one who created everything? God who controls lightning? God who made all the diamonds that you found in the earth? Don't you want to know this God? Don't you want to approach Him? He has something to give you if you seek Him. And this is where we come once again back to wisdom. What does God say to you? What does God say to you about wisdom? And He said to men, behold, see, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be a wise man on the earth? Do you want to be a wise woman? Do you want to be a wise boy? Do you want to be a wise girl? The answer is not to get rich. The answer is not to go to the moon. The answer is not to become religious and die. The answer is not to become old. The answer is fear the Lord and you will be wise. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. And this is the last part then that we'll speak about. After putting aside your pickaxe, your helmet, your sapphires, your gold, your jewelry, after giving up and cunning and being unable to find anything, you go to God and see that He's awesome and mighty, and God tells you to fear Him. What is the fear of the Lord then? You know, I said just now that your problem is that God is too small. The fear, the terror of the Lord. It's easy not to fear God who seems small. Well, shall I lie or shall I not lie in this situation? I don't know, but anyway, I'm not really thinking about God at the moment. I can lie. Tell a lie, get away with it. Yeah, it's fine. There's no fear of God when we sin. Think about all the sins that you've done in your life. All of them are done with the idea that God is small. Either small in His knowing. I can push God aside. God wouldn't really think about it. Small in His being. I don't really want to think about God right now. It's fine. I'll just have this. Small in His judgments. I don't think God thinks about this very seriously when I sin. So I'll just do it. Small in His comfort and His protection towards His love. Oh, there's no God protecting me now. I must worry. I must panic. I must do something. And you go into sins of unbelief and stress. And the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. We see various other texts in the Bible that describe this, which help us to understand. Psalms 110 verse 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have good understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Once again in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." What does this mean then? If you want to be a person who has wisdom, if you want to be a person who knows what is right to do, the beginning of it is not going to school. The beginning of it is not growing older. The beginning of it is not having life experience. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. Why? Because, truth be told, everything in the world revolves around God. In some sense, not around the sun, around God Himself. Everything was made by God. You and I were made by God. When you're older, you're not made just to enjoy what you have in life. When you're younger, you're not made just to have more things. Your children, you're not made just to have fun. We're made for God. And if you want to know what is right to do in any situation, what happens when poverty strikes? What happens when your children die? What happens when you're struck with grievous and painful illnesses like Job? What happens if you're in friends who are cursing you? What happens if you need to support a friend? How do you do what is right? The answer is not found in man. It's not found in the earth either. But if we go to God, if we have a right picture of God, if our God is not small, but big in our eyes, holy, and we fear Him, then there could come a situation and we know what's the right thing to do. Somebody else say something which is evil and wrong about somebody else in church. You realize that I don't think God will like this. No, God doesn't like this. I do fear God. I am in awe of God. I hate that God would be displeased. So I'm going to tell this person, you know, you shouldn't speak like that about the other person in church. Think about it. Or you're tempted then maybe to cheat on your taxes or to get gain which is illegal. You realize that, wait, my God is seeing me. God knows what I do. And according to the word of God, He is not pleased with this. Okay, I'll not do it then. Because God is not pleased with it. And therefore I'll seek to do what is right. It's very different from the wisdom of the world, which says that, well, you can do whatever you want just as long as you get away with it. That's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom of God, is different. It's wonderful. It's rich. And the person who has this wisdom, how do you know they are wise? How do you know who are the wise ones among you? It says, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes, it says in Proverbs 3. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. What a God may give us a heart to turn away from evil and turn to Him, and that we may cling to Him and seek wisdom from Him. But I can't end without speaking of Jesus Christ Himself. For we are not just some religious society that aims to become wise. If you want to go to God, if you want to be wise, it can only be through Jesus Christ. You who have not believed in Jesus Christ, you children, even at your age, 5, 6, you are able to believe in Jesus Christ. What does this have to do with wisdom? The problem is that you are all sinful in the eyes of God. You've all done what is wrong and displeasing to Him. How dare you think you can walk up to God and say, all right, God, give me wisdom. You can't do that. You can't do that to a person in real life, and there's no way to treat and respect the almighty, powerful God. So how can you go to God? That's where Jesus Christ comes in. He who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. By dying for the sins of those who believe in Him, and if you believe in Him this very day, that will be you. If you don't believe Him, you can do whatever you want, it will never be you. By dying of the sins of those who believe in Him, Jesus Christ made the way for sinners to go to God and to fear God in a relationship with Him. There's two ways to fear God. One is to fear God who will destroy you utterly for your sins and will make you perish in everlasting hell. And that is true for all the enemies of God. But for those who go to God through Jesus Christ has already taken the perishing, the pain, the wrath of God. And you go to God not with that kind of fear. You go to God with a reverential fear, a fear full of awe and trembling. Because you now can be even closer to Him than a sinner who will be thrown into hell. You can be closer to Him and see Him in His power, in His majesty, in His wisdom. And you can ask of God. It says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely to all who ask of Him and hold not. So let us all go. Christians and non-Christians, let us go to God through Jesus Christ, asking for wisdom, asking for Himself, that we might be changed and God might be glorified.